I don't know if we can call ourselves entrepreneurs, I guess, because we have not made any money, but we are on the path. I guess we are entrepreneurs.
We've made like $60 or so. Don't say we haven't made any money. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 50 of the Metacast Behind the Scenes podcast. And I'm your host, Ilya Bezdilev.
And I'm Arnab Deka. And Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. Now we can confidently say Merry Christmas to everyone, both you know the Catholics and the Orthodox, because both Christmases have passed, for those who celebrate, of course. We are listened to all over the world, and not everyone celebrates Christmas.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everything, yeah. It was an awesome year for us. Thanks for continuing to listen to us.
Yeah, can you believe it's episode 50?
It's actually like 55 or so, right? Because we had some bonus episode, we had a 24 part one, part two, and we actually recorded 51 yesterday, but we're going to publish it next week.
So Arnab, what are we going to talk about today?
I was going to detour a little bit, but sure, take the reins. We're going to talk about 2023, how it was, what did we do so far, and also look forward to 2024, what's our plan for the company and the app. Quick detour though, and it wouldn't be this podcast if we don't detour once in a while. So every podcast that we do, it's usually recorded at least like a week before, sometimes a month before, like early on, right, when we had a lot of episodes backed up already. But this one, we are recording on 9th January, Tuesday, and it's coming up one day later. So on 10th January, Wednesday. So that's all thanks to Ilya's hard work right after we finished this session. It feels like it's almost real time this time, right? Yeah. Unlike the previous ones.
And thanks to our lack of planning.
Well, everybody gets a bit of time off at the end of the year. So yeah.
I would personally prefer to record like the day before we publish. Maybe eventually, if you can hire like a full stack kind of production company who can like churn this out on a 24-hour notice, we should definitely do that. But I suspect that will come with a hefty price. If you want to have both video and audio done like within...
At least a few thousand dollars, I think, per
probably,
month.
Yeah, I wonder if we should try a live stream.
We'll see.
is it a stretch?
not right away, Okay, let's do it. So year in review, let's talk about 2023. How about you start? What are the best things? What were the challenges? Yeah,
I think 2023 is just the beginning. We started the company, Metacast Inc., in early June. I think June 7th or June 9th is the actual incorporation date. And we've been working, you know, on a product and, well, let's put the timeline together for posterity.
We actually, I think you and I started seriously talking about this in March or February.
In February.
Yeah. And that's when I was like, okay, let's do this, right? You were like, okay, I'm leaving Google and all that. So,
We
incorporated in June. But I think around March middle is when I actually started like prototyping maybe some of the backend, looking at the podcast spec and all that. Yeah,
because we also applied to YC whenever the deadline was in March, I suppose, or April.
Was the first one in March? Wow.
It was that long time ago. Yeah. So that's when things started to take shape a little bit. We wanted to launch in November, I think. And now kind of we're already in 2024, so we haven't launched, obviously. I mean, we shipped a beta and you know, people are using it. But I remember we were talking about this. Okay, let's give ourselves 6 months. And, we launch and then see how it goes. And now in retrospect, it just doesn't make sense.
Unrealistic, yeah.
It's totally unrealistic, yeah.
I was in India for the holiday break, right? After like 4 or 5 years, I went to India after COVID. And I met with a lot of like friends, some people I've not met like for 17 years. It was amazing, right? And a few of them are actually entrepreneurs who have been in this thing for like 10 plus years. And initially there wasn't enough success, right? Even some of them are starting to see like real good success now, but some of them are still not, and they're still in it. And that gives me kind of the inspiration. Plus I think it's basically a matter of time. With the kind of effort that we are putting in, it's how long can we keep playing this game for us to finally succeed, right? So, and I think 6 months is totally unrealistic. now I feel like it's not going to be less than 3-4 years at the very least that we are in it, even if we have to pivot to something else and all that.
I will not be surprised if we will be in it like for 10 years, because I think we have plenty of excitement and passion for this, for podcasting, for me personally, for audio in general. Like, unless something really, really terrible happens and I become disillusioned in audio as a medium, which is a very low probability event, I would say.
The enjoyment of the job, I almost don't want to call it a job anymore because it's more like life, right? It's like, so beautiful. I love 2023, the way that we worked together, but also like, because we're just three people, like we'd go into our like at least 2-3 days a week, we're completely siloed, right? Deep work. And I had not felt that for so long. It feels amazing.
For me, I think 2023 was a pivotal year on the work front. I mean, work and life, but work was specifically the aspect where I basically turned it 180, you know, cut the ties with corporate, you know, it's something that I really wanted to do for a very long time. I had my own company back like 2003 through 2005. I actually built some pretty cool stuff, but it was while I was still in university and when I graduated. I don't know why I couldn't keep it going, but like maybe I wasn't ready for like doing a full-time sort of entrepreneurship thing. Well, in retrospect, it was good because I got to see the world and all that, because I might still be like in my, I would have never met you, you know, because I would be like still there doing whatever my local business. So I stopped that in 2005, but as early as 2007, I think, I remember we were living in Moscow. I was prototyping like a website for like a social, I'm almost ashamed to say this. It was like a social network site for pet owners where they would be able to post like pictures of their pets and like videos of their pets, because I think YouTube was starting to get traction worldwide, share some stories about their pets. So it was almost like a Facebook for pet owners. I never did it. I had a bunch of other ideas over the years leading up to this point. And I started some of those, like I never finished them. Like working at Amazon was also like very prohibitive in terms of what you can and cannot do. So I would never seriously commit to anything. And this also is a testament that ideas are worth nothing, because execution is damn hard. And I would say actually execution starts on the day you fully commit. That's how I'm thinking about this now. Because I was listening to a podcast yesterday. I forgot the name of the guy. He's like a famous YouTuber. He was on the Diary of a CEO podcast. And he said that the problem with going to the gym is actually getting to the gym. Because once you're in the gym, it's easy from there, right? That's the commitment. Yeah, so he talks about this thing where, like, I have to convince myself that I'll just do this for this icky thing for 2 minutes. But like, once I start doing this for 2 minutes, like 99% of the time, I just keep doing it until, you know, whatever.
I also, between 2012, 2014, that time, for about 3 years, I dabbled working at like very small company startups and things like that. But life wasn't at the right place for me to like, I think, do this long term, full time. Whereas this time it feels very different, right? Because first of all, we're working on like things that we're really passionate about. It doesn't feel like work, right? We use the app like daily ourselves. I'm working with people that I really like. The trust, I feel like that you, me, Jenny have, that changes quite a bit of how it feels about working.
Yes. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and so he was in corporate for a while, like Google, Snap, and other companies, and Amazon as well. And then he did a startup that got acquired by a bigger company. He said that people who are entrepreneurs or like startuppers, you know, even like in Series B startups, they just think very different. They don't even care what experience you had in terms of like big companies, just because that experience is almost like not necessarily not applicable, but the mindset is different. And he said that it is a principal and agent problem. When you are an owner, like we are, right? We are principals. Like we have a problem, we just go and solve the problem. When you're an agent and you have a problem, like an internal bureaucracy problem or something, you just learn to live. It's almost like learned helplessness. I think that's what happens in big corporations. Whereas if you run your own thing, you have to be resourceful. Otherwise, otherwise you're done if you can solve the problem. That's what I really like about being an entrepreneur now. Even though I don't know if we can call ourselves entrepreneurs, I guess, because we have not made any money, but we are on the path. I guess we are entrepreneurs.
We've made like $60 or so. Don't say we haven't made any money.
Yeah, sure, but not with our main product.
Yeah,
those like auxiliary sources of income. But this whole kind of change in mindset. Oh, I'm actually in the driver's seat. like I'm in charge. Like, if I don't push the brake or if I don't like push the gas, like nothing's gonna happen. And like it's only me. I mean, me as in like me or you or like whoever is in that seat, right? Like we are the masters of our lives.
I feel like maybe it's the other side of this coin. That's how I feel about this. Let me try to explain. Ownership, like I always felt even at Amazon, right? Like I would like want to take on a problem and like just take the decisions and solve it. However, the bureaucracy is what kills that mindset. Basically, you have to ask for, if it's a complex problem and you're taking a decision, you have to ask for validation from like other people. And that's not always a bad thing. That's a great thing. And especially because those people are really experienced and awesome people. But it takes a lot of time, like calendar scheduling, layer by layer, go to the next level of like engineers or management and all. And it just kills your motivation to produce things. Whereas now we have a problem, we meet, we decide what to do, and we solve it. Maybe it's the other side of what you're talking about, what that podcast is talking about, but this really energizes me, the way we work now.
I think you also said about, you know, working with kind of the people you trust and I would even say like friends with, right? That has been really huge because every now and then you meet people and you're like, yeah, you can find, you can work with them, right? But would you go into marriage with them, right? Or like, would you start a business with them? Like, no, even though they're nice people and all, right? I think for us, the three of us, you know, we wouldn't go into marriage, I suppose. But but being in a startup relationship, I mean, people often refer to it as being like in a marriage. And I think in many ways, it is so because everybody has skin in the game. Everybody is committed. Everybody is dependent on each other. But I think unlike marriage, especially in us, for us in the remote environment, being in a marriage, right? You see your wife multiple times per day. Like if something goes wrong, you see it immediately.
Feedback, yeah.
But immediate feedback loop. In startup, especially if you, like you, we have those 2 or 3 days of uninterrupted work time, like you have no visibility of what's going on.
But that's good, I feel like, for work.
I think it depends on the level of trust, though. Because
exactly.
I think for where we are right now, with our level of trust, with our mutual respect, I think it just works fine, right? But I can definitely imagine if the relationship wasn't as good, and I definitely had these kind of situations in the corporate world where you would be like, you don't know the motivation of the other person and you don't see them enough to like fully really like understand them. In the startup, I think it can be fatal to the startup. So I don't know, I took us on this tangent, but I think the TLDR is that I'm really enjoying the people I'm working with, I mean, you and Jenny, and I think it's more than I could have wished for.
Let's talk about like what we have done in 2023. We started the episode with that timeline. Maybe let's actually try to actually straighten out the timeline now.
Yeah, so late winter, early summer, oh, sorry, early spring 2023, kind of you did some prototyping, we applied to YC, didn't get in. June 1st is when I leave Google. I mean, it all starts also like 2022, August is when you left Amazon, right?
And if the listener, like you're curious, go back, listen to our episodes 24, part 1 and part 2. We go into a lot of detail. But the TLDR is my spouse is working full time. So I do have that support. Ilya is a single person earner for his family. So that was a much bigger decision to take.
I guess we cannot compare psychologically for whom it was like more difficult or not, because you know people have different circumstances and different like levels of tolerance. But I would say it was an agonizing decision for me. So it was very difficult.
But glad you did it.
So yeah, so June 1st is when I quit my job and start working full time. And we just go full steam ahead. In August, while I'm in Vancouver, living in your house for a couple of weeks, we are releasing our beta version of Metacast, which actually we should have mentioned is a podcast app. but yeah, I guess this episode is unlikely for somebody to be the first episode because it's just so like I guess the title is not too clickbaity to pick it as a first episode. So yeah, we launch our beta and we think, okay, by November we should launch the public version. I think by October, November, we start to realize that we're missing a bunch of table stakes features that other podcast apps have. Like basic things like being able to skip, 30 seconds ahead when you're driving. Because it's just like, it's this basic. Or like being able to download
an episode. Or like playlists, downloads, yeah. And I think we started using the app ourselves around summer. And we felt these things like immediately, right? Like even for ourselves, we need these features.
I remember at some point we both had to use two podcast apps because some stuff just wasn't working properly. At first, we only had just a bunch of podcasts available in the app.
Right. You couldn't search and find new ones.
Yes. For anything else, you would have to like go and use Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something else.
Yeah. Jenny joined us in October, and then I think that was another big moment. But also, I think it crystallized that our velocity increased quite a lot after she joined, right? Like right now, we're almost working on, I want to say 2.5 things, like technical things almost at the same time. Well, not even technical, because you're doing a lot of other technical stuff too. But for the app, we're like working on almost 2.5 features at any time right now. Back then, I think it was like maybe 0.8 or so, because you and I were doing a lot of other administrative stuff too.
Yes. Yeah, I think with Jenny joining, it was really, yeah, for those of you who are listening for the first time, Jenny is our software developer who used to work with us at Amazon. So we're part of the same team. That's why we are talking about the trust and that relationship, because that relationship has been built over many, many years. I think at least 3 or 4 years for me and probably like 7 years for you. So it's been a long time.
She was my mentee and mentor in some ways. So yeah.
Obviously, we didn't ship the public version in November. We set our eyes to ship in January. Just today, we groomed our backlog. I think January is a stretch.
Right. Yeah, there's still a few things, important things left
but
to build.
What really made me kind of more comfortable with this is yesterday we were recording an episode with Christian Selig, who is the creator of Apollo.
And which said, that episode will come out next week, episode 51.
Yes, it'll come out next week. And he said that, I think from his like initial beta or alpha, it took him another 1.5 years to get to a shape. That gave me a bit more kind of, okay, it's a reference point, I would say.
We always knew this, but that you should launch early. Don't worry too much about launching rough and all that. But talking to him also gave me a lot of comfort in like cutting lots of features out for the first initial release.
I was thinking like maybe should we stick a beta moniker on it when we launch?
Yeah, we'll maybe that's our next metasode. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, we still need to charge because there is cost to operating the app. I don't know what Apple allows and doesn't allow there, but I feel like it might be acceptable. And then can we like truly build in public, like really engage with our users? That could really stand us apart from these corporate behemoths. But also it's something that I know I would personally really enjoy, having like a community of users you can discuss stuff with. So what are the mistakes that we made this year?
Who makes mistakes?
Oh, obviously you don't.
Yeah. But I was asking you, and you were talking about this, so why don't you bring this up? Like, could we have shipped the app faster? It's not a mistake. It's more like an alternative reality of like, could something else have happened?
Here's the thing. Knowing what I know now, in hindsight, right? We could have left out our secret sauce that we started with. And we spent, I don't know, months on, right? And just started with like a basic podcast app and then marketed it as like a podcast app that will like really evolve and support all the podcasting things and like stuff that you know, like there is a lot of stuff in this in RSS spec that Apple Podcasts or Spotify don't support. Like Spotify also tries to do walled garden. So there is a bunch of things that we could have promised, we could have released something very small, promised a lot, and then built it along with our users, right? The challenge of this approach, though, is that I think we would have just been working on table stakes all the time and would not have gotten to the secret sauce. Or when we release the secret sauce, it would have been so underwhelming or expensive to run.
It would have been too late to like detour from that at that time.
Yeah. Also, it's possible that we would not have gotten enough confidence that our app is special without the secret sauce, because we would be like, oh, we'll build it in the future, but it's just, you know, it's just, what do you call it? Make believe, right? But because I know what our app is capable of.
Right. That's a big validation part, was us using it, but also some of our, like, we have, what, 15, 20 beta testers at this point?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe 30, yeah.
But a few of them got hooked onto it, and it changed the way that they use podcasts, right? Like, and it totally changed for us. So I think that's the kind of belief, the conviction that tells you that, okay, this is actually working, but we do need all these other table stakes features now, like playlist downloads and all that. And yeah, I think flipping it around, if we had just built the playlist, like basically a podcast player that any other podcast player is like right now, we would have completely avoided the backend and pretty much all the AI and like all the jobs, async scheduling and all that work that we do right now. So that would have saved a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah, another thing about the backend, right? I guess just for our listeners, so we have a backend for our podcast app. So basically we have the podcast catalog and stuff like your playlists and what you listen to, it's all on the backend. You know, if you change your phone or like if you lose your data, we have everything stored on the cloud side as well. And the intention there is that we'll have a web app at some point. So you can use this in a cross-platform way, but also it allows us to...
Basically, what understand what our users are doing with the app, the patterns.
I'm not talking about like how long you looked at that pixel, like what Facebook would do, right? In our analytics, we don't have any of the data. It's all anonymized. So basically, we can see it in aggregate. Let's say people who are listening to this podcast, what else are they listening to? Which would be great for providing recommendations and better search, better discovery, which is one of the things that we are after going forward as well. So I feel like investing in the backend will help us save time in the future, because we would have to build it anyway, but then we would have to like synchronize whatever we have on clients to the backend, like manage all these different versions of the app. Basically, everything that we've done, we have been thinking like a big company that has deep pockets and lots of time.
Which is not surprising, because we have come from like decades working in that kind of environment.
Yeah, we don't have kind of either, you know, deep pockets or long time, but I feel like we will very soon, actually even now, I think we are starting to accelerate compared to where we were, just because we already have most of the functionality in place. But also, we can build a better product because of this. I listened to actually an interview with the Duolingo co-founder, Louis Van An, I think his name is. Yeah, he was on the How We Built This podcast many years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It really resonated with me. He said that people usually get their product 90%, and then they just invest in marketing. We don't invest in marketing. We invest in product because in the long term, this is important, in the long term, the better product wins. And this really resonated with me because like that's what we are doing. We have the belief that in the long term, we will win anyway. So that's why it's worth investing into the kind of proper infrastructure early on.
Let's talk about 2024. What's our plan? Of course, immediately, next plan is to launch. You did like look at what else is remaining. I think feature-wise, based on like what you and I are using, what people are using, it is pretty feature-complete at this point. But we do need to add a lot of like the launch readiness stuff, fix a lot of UX kind of things that we don't want to release with, add, I guess, search and that sort of features. But basic listening-wise, I feel like it's... Now I don't need to go to another app, right? This is the only app that I use for podcasts right now.
I think the app is definitely usable right now. There are a few rough corners, like not being able to like skip in the car, which I felt was very painful on my very long trip from South Carolina to Florida, because I listened to something, a podcast that had a lot of ads and I couldn't skip while driving. A bunch of stuff like that, that you can call it a feature, but it's not sexy, right? It's like, you just got to get done, and it will take a non-trivial amount of time to do. I mean, it will take probably a few days to do all of each of those, right? But otherwise, there are lots of small paper cuts, things that we didn't pay much attention to, like, yeah, we'll get to them later. So it's just stuff like that. That's called paper cuts. Individually, they are no big deal, but collectively, they just create a wrong impression of the product. We will have to prioritize ruthlessly before we launch, but I think we need to get the basic flow near perfect, very good, so that people have this feeling like, oh, wow, like, it's an app that I love, that I can use. And then also, you know, I'm looking forward to see what these people will kind of continue to develop, right?
Right. But also, like, we should not chase perfection first for the first launch.
Why not?
It's usable right now. I feel like we should release as soon as possible, right? Whatever we determine, these are the remaining paper cuts. Let's do those. There's a few security and that sort of stuff that every app has to do, like, before you launch to the world, those things. And then I think we launch it, and then we get feedback, we learn from people, build it with people, and iterate on it. Because it's not going to be like we're done with it. I think we're going to be working on this for years now.
Yeah, I think it's something that we'll have to debate, because one of the arguments against launching too early on mobile is that you can get a negative review. And then if you accumulate enough negative reviews, it will just drag the app, the downloads of your app down. People don't download apps with negative reviews. But yeah, if an app has like 1.5 stars, unless it's an app that's like a companion app for hardware that you purchased already, like, you're not going to use that app. So that's why I'm saying that I'm fully with you that we shouldn't chase perfection. But there has to be a certain sort of happy path that should work.
Polish, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily polished, like, but it should, like, utility-wise, it should be really, really good.
Yeah, it should be usable. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's already usable minus a few of these things. So we need to, maybe we're just arguing about semantics. We can do that offline.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we want to launch it. And then I think the rest of the year will depend on how that launches, what kind of feedback we get, iterating from it. Yeah. Yeah, and then we do have big plans for, like, the long term, right? Like, this is, the app is just the first of our, like, I think 4 phases that we have talked about internally. So we'll see if things go really smooth, then maybe by the end of the next year, we're not just the app, but a few more things that we've been talking about.
You mean by the end of 2025?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because 2024 will be this app, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think the foundations really allow us to build something, to build a more derivative product from this. I'm also looking forward to potential collaborations with podcasters that we might do. I don't know how those will pan out. You know, that's what's interesting about being independent, right? When you work for Amazon, like, everybody wants to latch onto your name. Go on stage together, let you on their stage, just because they want to be associated with you, affiliated with you. If you're a no name, haven't yet reached kind of that recognition, then yeah, you have to work your way up the ladder, right? Working with people sort of your level, who also have like limited reach, but then slowly climb up
together.
I think it's a long-term game. Yeah, it's something that is kind of new to both of us, because we are used to having the brand clout from a big tech company. So yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Okay, so tell us the launch plan.
So we will first do sort of a silent launch. We will do an announcement on, you know, I mean, first of all, we'll get to the App Store. No, not Product Hunt. So I think we'll just do an announcement on like our personal social media.
Oh, like our newsletter.
Yeah, like newsletter. Maybe reach out to, I don't know, maybe 30 to 50 people who we know, just like in direct messages, just to get them to try the app, maybe give us a review if they like it, etc. So basically to catch any unexpected last minute bugs or basically any blind spots. Once we have the pipeline, we have the app, we can release it. Apple approved it, you know, all of that stuff. And Google, I don't know if Google actually even does any approvals.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, same.
But
same,
I guess
yeah.
not as severe as Apple. I've just been following the Hey saga.
Apple is a more manual review all through, so there it's more qualitative. Google is very automated, but if you fail the automation, then good luck.
But they probably also have a lower threshold.
Yeah. Although they're getting more and more stringent now, I think, recently. So
when we are comfortable, we will announce on, you know, Reddit, Product Hunt. Obviously, we'll keep beating the drum on our own social media. And finally, I think when we are really confident in the value that the app has and the willingness to pay for the app, when we have some paying users, I suppose, we really want to start collaborating with podcasters. To work with them to be our sort of endorsers. It's a very familiar concept in the sports world, except that in the sports world, you know, they pay the athletes to promote them. So we will just work with, you know, I guess first with our friends, podcaster friends, people who have been on our podcast, to see, you know, if we can establish any kind of. I don't want to call it a deal, but it's more like, can we find a partnership that's mutually beneficial? And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about recently is, so there is a group of people, the podcasting 2.0 crowd. They've created some pretty cool stuff in the RSS spec that allows for more rich content and all that. It doesn't seem like big players care about that much, right? So we could be that poster child actually for that movement and drive the industry forward, so to speak. So that could be, you know, one of the partnerships that we potentially make, and I'm really excited about that opportunity. But yeah, but overall, it's like these are all just hypotheses for now, so we will have to test all that.
We'll see how it pans out, yeah. Okay, so I think that's a wrap for like the app and the company side of it, our review of 2023, plan for 2024. Let's talk a little bit about the podcast itself, right? It's our first episode came out January 1st or so, 2023.
It was whatever the first Wednesday of 2023.
Right. And then it has been like, we've done a lot of episodes so far. So that's been a lot of like, I think, really enjoying fulfilling amount of work. Let's talk about your top three episodes of 2023.
So how do you define top?
So I think there are different ways to look at it. As a listener, if you put your listener hat on, which ones did you enjoy? As a creator of the podcast, which ones did you enjoy? It's up to you. You give me the top three and you tell me why they're in the top three.
So my top three is the Jack and Jonathan episode, which was, I think, episode number 4.
The only episode where we sang so far.
Yes. I did sing in the last episode a little bit.
You did? Okay.
Okay, which means you didn't listen to it. Okay.
Not yet.
So, yeah, Jake Knapp and Jonathan Courtney, it was a great episode, very delightful. But also very inspiring because I really resonated with Jake because he was actually my age when he left Google to like be independent. And he shared some stories. It was really great. And Jonathan is just always fun to be around and listen to. He's amazing. My number two was our interview with Jason Fried, the co-founder of 37 Signals. I think for two reasons. So first, I really enjoyed just his humbleness and his insights and how he talks. And it was a great conversation. I liked it both as a listener and as a creator. The other thing is, it was the first one that felt like success in a way, you know, because he was the biggest name I think we've had on the podcast so far, or like maybe the most famous name, if it makes sense.
That also got us and you specifically a lot of like followers in LinkedIn. I think our newsletter too started gaining more and more traction around then.
Yeah, I think it was one of those moments. And then the last one, which is my favorite in terms of, I guess, more as a creator, episode 24, part 1 and part 2, we recorded a reflection on kind of leaving our jobs, how we thought about that, our decision-making process, why we are doing what we are doing. It was a very long discussion. I think we recorded it all at once. And then we just split it into two episodes because it was too long. You know how you read a book by some businessman who's successful and they would be like, oh, I knew it all along. Or they have this kind of heroic story of struggle or something. So for us, we actually have unbiased 3 hours of documented evidence of where we were and actually what exactly we did without hindsight.
Those two are also in my top three, as you can see already. It was, I think, very kind of throwback, but also a lot of realization that we gain while talking about it and recording. Basically, just talking about the journey so far. It's been a long journey, so yeah, it was amazing. You know, I'm all about the fun. So my top three includes are arguably, as a listener, my most fun episode to listen to was 7.5, the bonus episode, where if you have not heard it, listener, and you liked listening to us, go listen to that episode. But basically, it started with, I don't know what we were going to talk about.
We were recording an episode, and then we started with a tangent about sci-fi, or like a Sandman, I think it was one of those. And then we ended up like talking about it for like 1.5 hours.
Hours about like sci-fi, about comics and music, and movies and all. And then we decided, okay, it's too long. Let's just release this as a bonus episode.
So yeah, that was fun.
That was my most, I think one of my top three episodes as a listener, as well as a creator.
It's also probably the only episode that was not planned at all. Because for everything else, we have a certain agenda, right? This one was, it was basically a mistake that it happened.
Yeah, we felt it was so good and heartfelt and fun that we decided to release it anyway. So that one. The other one of my top three I'd mention. I mean, so we have had lots of great guests. Justin Frankel, Winamp, that was like, wow. when he said yes and we recorded it, that was awesome. Justin Jackson, that was a really good episode I enjoyed doing. Of course, Jason Fried and Brian McAllister.
Let's list them all.
Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas. I mean, these are people I would have never had a chance to talk to in my life if we were not doing this podcast. So it was amazing. But I'll mention episode 10, Hearts in Taiwan, that podcast that we talked to
Annie and Angela.
Yeah, that was, for me, I think that was the episode that emotionally connects the most, because everything else, like Dave Thomas, Justin Jackson, all of these people, they're in the tech space. So I was already pretty familiar with their work. Let's say Winamp or Transistor FM or Hey or 37 Signals. Like, I already knew about all these things. So the amount of research was more about like, what exactly have they been working on? Have they been on a podcast and that sort of stuff? Whereas this one was like, I had no idea about Taiwan. And I mean, at a superficial level, I know the challenges that Taiwanese people have gone through, but I had never done any deep reading into all this. So, and also the parental side of it. To me, that was, that episode touches my heart the most. So that's in my top three.
Angela was my coworker at Google. And actually, I don't think we ever mentioned this on the podcast. She and I, we worked together. She was a developer, developer Avocado, developer advocate. I was a PM in Maps. And her manager actually mentioned to me, like, oh, you guys have a podcast. Like, Angela has a podcast too. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know. So I started listening to Hearts in Taiwan. I'm like, oh my God, they are so vulnerable, so open. And yeah, so I talked to her and, you know, invited her and Enyo to the podcast, and they are cousins, which is also, like, there is just so much interleaving there. I don't know. It was one of my favorite podcasts for a while. While I was doing research, I was binging on that podcast and I really liked it.
They're not doing too many episodes. I'm also subscribed to it, but they have not done too many. But I am on both of their Instagrams and all. They do keep posting fun stuff from Taiwan as well as from the US about Taiwan. So yeah, it's awesome.
So let's finish this with our traditional section of what we are listening to and reading now. I mean, you've just come back from India. You must have had plenty of free time and lots of sleep and all that.
Lots of sleep, yeah. For I have not slept. Well, last night I did sleep like 8 hours, but before that, it was all 4 or 5 hours every night. There was a lot of meeting up with lots of like old family and friends. It was super fun. But before going on the trip, we had just finished the download feature. So I had downloaded a lot of podcasts. I did listen to 2 of the really long ones in there. Maybe this was just like holiday time. 2 of my favorite science fiction authors both released their next audiobooks like 2 days before I was leaving. So I was like, yes, download it on Audible. I'll just quickly mention them, right? So in terms of podcasts, the Hardcore History, Dan Carlin, he has 2 6.5-hour episodes about the Viking Age, right? How it started and what's the influence? Why do we hear about like Thor and Ragnarok and all that in our society in Hollywood all the time, even now, like thousands of years after that, right? And it was amazing because I had never gone deep into that space. Highly recommend it, but it is 6.5 hours each episode. There are 2 of them. Song Exploder, you had mentioned it. I mean, it's a very famous podcast already, but the first time I listened to was Seal's Kiss from a Rose. I love that episode, how it almost didn't happen. I like the serendipity of that, how it came about.
Yeah, just for our listeners, so Song Exploder is where this guy called Hirsch Harvey, I think his name is.
Harvey,
he invites musicians and they talk about their songs. Some would talk about some technical aspects of like whatever, how they layered things. Some of them would talk just about the story, like somebody died and like they evolve all that. It's a fascinating podcast where you get to hear directly from the people who created the song.
And I really enjoy because the song is also in there. And many times, right? Maybe sometimes you'd hear parts of the song, but at the end of it, you'd play the whole song. It's just beautiful. Yeah,
It is beautiful, yes.
In terms of books, 3 books I read in the travels. One was, I really wanted to watch the Napoleon movie that came out, which I didn't end up watching. But to prepare for it, I read the Napoleon book by Andrew Roberts. It's not one of those like engaging storytelling kind of history books that I like. That's the Dan Carlin style of history. This is more like factual, like what happened. But there's a lot of like insights and all that too. So I enjoyed that book. The 2 science fiction books I talked about, Roadkill. From, if you know Bobbyverse is like one of the most fun science fiction series recently. He has 4 books in Bobbyverse, but he had a standalone novel/novella. It's not that long. It's called Roadkill. It's about an alien and a guy like basically accidentally hits him on the road and kills him and what happens after that. It's a fun read. And then X-Force is this expeditionary force of the Craig Ellison arc of novels. There's like 10 of them. So he had the final one in there called Aftermath. I did get lots of... I thought I had not spent too much time listening to stuff, but it sounds like I did.
Maybe you should have slept instead. Yeah. During the break, I mean, I was here for most of the time, but I had to drive my son to a camp every day. So I got to listen to a bunch of podcasts. I didn't read any books during this time. And I've been binging on the same podcasts. That's kind of my obsessive podcast listening personality. So I listened to probably like 15 episodes of Song Exploder. I mean, I knew this podcast from a long time ago, but I just like rediscovered this podcast and I scrolled through their entire...
Tell me the one that comes to your mind immediately of these 15.
Actually, that's the one that I shared with you. It's a teacher by Foo Fighters, where he talks about his mother's passing and how he came up with the song. To be honest, I don't like the song.
I don't like the song either. That's why I didn't listen to it. But now that you've shared in Slack like the details of it, I do have it. Yeah.
But the backstory, it made me tear up. You know, there was also one by REM. Actually, there was a lot of stuff about death there because I guess those stories make for powerful, you know, connection with listeners. Yeah, there was one from Nine Inch Nails, Metallica, Madonna was a really good one. I had no idea they used a sample from ABBA. I actually know this song, but I just never realized it was the direct sample from
Inside a Madonna song.
Oh, yeah, like Hang Up is a song from early 2000s. Yeah, they use an ABBA sample from Gimme, Gimme, Gimme song.
Okay.
It's these kind of things. So Madonna one was more technical. They were talking more about how they came up with all these different things, but it was just so interesting.
The Song Exploder has 350 episodes so far, I think, right?
Yeah, so I scanned the entire thing and I picked all of the names that I know. And now I think I finished them all. Oh, one that people might enjoy is one with Hans Zimmer. He breaks down the soundtrack for Dune because he used some non-standard instruments there, some non-standard effects. It is very interesting. I was also binging on Rework just because they're fun to listen to, Jason Fried and DHH. And The Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett. Mostly I was listening to those short moments that he has. He would take 20 minutes of an episode and just put it as a separate episode. Stuff about health was really interesting. The one that I would call out, he had a guy called James Hoffman. He won a world barista championship or something back in 2007. So the guy knows a lot about coffee. And so he spent basically all of his life, I think he's about 45 now or so. So he spent 20 plus years working with coffee. He has a coffee roasting company. He won the barista championship.
Is this what got you started on the coffee thing again, which you're having withdrawal from now?
So I guess TLDR, I was having the withdrawal from coffee for the last 2 days, terrible headaches, because I wanted to stop coffee for a while. And then I came across this episode. He talks actually about this thing as coffee withdrawal is a thing, caffeine withdrawal, where you have headaches 24 to 48 hours after you stop. And just generally, he talks about career quite a bit there. Because people were telling him that he was too niche because he specializes in coffee. And then he said coffee just exploded. And now coffee is everywhere. And then there is a fun part there where Stephen Bartlett, the host, he brings 5 cups of coffee that his team got from surrounding coffee shops that Stephen himself doesn't know where they're from. And then they both do tasting.
Blind test.
Yeah, a blind test. And this guy, James Hoffman, he describes what he feels there. And he pretty accurately nails I think McDonald's is a commercial coffee that shouldn't be expensive. Or if it's expensive, he'll be outraged. But yeah, and then Steven reveals to him what these coffees are. So yeah, it was pretty interesting. An independent coffee shop won of those 5. Which is not surprising. So another thing that I hope will not get me canceled here. I've been listening to Jordan Peterson every now and then. There will be a lot of people on the West Coast who disagree with probably everything that Jordan Peterson says about just because he's Jordan Peterson, because of some other things that he said. But he has some really interesting things. Accidentally came across this episode where he talks with the mathematician John Lennox about God. Okay. I think the episode is called The Conversation About God. And the only reason why I listened to this is it wasn't my playlist, but I was driving from Savannah to Florida and I just randomly clicked into my playlist and it started playing. I'm like, okay, whatever, I listened to it. And it was very interesting because the main idea there is that if you an atheist, then how can you believe in the sort of order in the universe? So it's if you believe in randomness, how come there is so much order and structure in the universe and everywhere down to atomic level? Therefore, there is a higher level consciousness. You may call it God. You can call it something else, right? But there is something a higher level intelligence that actually created all of that. And that's why there is so much order.
My first instinct is to disagree completely, but I think I need to listen to this before form an opinion. Yeah.
So I think it's important to listen to the whole thing. It's about 1.5 hours before you disagree. And that's one of the things that maybe people actually don't do enough is listening to the opposing points of view.
It's all, I think, black and white nowadays. You're either here or there.
And a lot of what he says is black and white. But there are occasional nuggets where, this thing about God, it's sort of not related really to politics, but it's interesting. I always regarded myself as an atheist, but I don't think I do anymore. Anyway, so it was a long detour.
Yeah. Okay, let's wrap it up. If you still don't know, we are building an app. It's in closed beta right now. If you want to use it, let us know. Sign up at metacast.app. There you will also find links to our newsletter where Ilya talks about our behind the scenes, like what's happening in the company, what are the insights, what are we learning from it. I really enjoy reading it myself, so I'd highly recommend that newsletter. And then, yeah, of course, there's this podcast. If you have reached this far, you know that we also do a weekly podcast. So thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or you want to get back, reach back to us. If you have any thoughts on any of this, reach us at hello@metacastpodcast.com.
Yeah, if you want, you can record us an audio voice memo, maybe no more than 30 seconds. Send it to our email. We will include it as part of our episode, unless it's like offensive or anything. As long as it's positive feedback that praises us and all that. And
and you said 30 seconds, because the only long form audio we listen to is in podcasts. All right, yeah, great.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.